As you can see, we've been joined on the sofa by former Manchester United and England defender Paul Parker. Paul, so wonderful to have you. Thank you so much. Now, look, Sunday, how much are you looking forward to the game?
It's come to the point of you don't really look forward to it, do you? If I could come out, start going bang, bang, this is going to be great. You're going to go, oh, no, and then you wait and it kicks off and you think, oh, it ain't looking bad, but even then you're on edge because you know that things could flip quite easy.
Absolutely. Well, look, let's go to some, happier memories, some great times, right, of some great matches. Talk me through what you remember of this. Anfield 1994, 3-3, there you are. I mean, what a team and what a kit as well.
It was a great kit and it was a good team, but it's just, well, let's put it this way, it started off really, really well and then we found out in the dressing room after it didn't go as well as it should have been really, because we found out from the gaffer that he wasn't that happy with it, because we kind of in a certain way capitulated. You see it when you go 3-3 and then you concede just before half time. That was the killer.
That was it. I mean, at this point though, 3-0, it must be absolute dreamland. You're thinking, how many more can it be?
Well, you just wanted the game to stop, and to score 3 goals at Anfield is absolutely incredible. I'd never done anything like that from my time going there with Fulham or QPR. But then those little bits happen. They've got that way, Liverpool, is that once they get going, there's something that's for a long, long period just kept them going and going. There was always that fear factor about them and that edge that they had. And, you know, that's why they are what they are.
Yeah. So you're saying at this point, manager's going, what's going on?
Well, I think he knew what was going on. I think everyone just felt it was going to happen, to be perfectly honest. That's what happens. They seem to get on top and get that little bit of control. The fans get going. But that was Anfield of old.
Yeah.
It's changed a little bit now.
Absolutely. Well, let's go not too far to the now, but 2003. Quentin, I want your memories, your Anfield memories from this game. Right, we're going to show you this one. Again, a classic showdown, a 2-1 win in November 2003. There you are. What do you remember of these games?
I'm just happy I got hair. I got hair. As Paul mentioned there, just the atmosphere. As you walk out there, you, even though you're not from Liverpool, you hear that music. It's goosebumps on your skin, and all you know when you go to Liverpool is that when it's a 50-50, whichever game you play, but especially in Liverpool, when it's a 50-50, you do not pull out. The gaffer will absolutely go crazy, the players will have a go at you, and especially when you play against Liverpool, you have to go with everything, and there's a great place when you win.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, again, going up two here, what are some of your memories of seeing these hit the back of the net? Is it just pure relief? Oh, we've got the lead.
Yeah, just pure joy. And when you get, I was very fortunate to play some amazing players, and you just do your job, you do your part, and that's the best part, the celebration with our fans, away fans, the hardcore United fans, and as I mentioned before, the best place to win.
Yeah, and with that team that you had there, was there just that, there was that constant feeling, you know, that grinding result? I mean, I grew up, obviously, as an Arsenal fan when I was younger, watching you, and you just always had that belief that, no, we can turn this into a result, no matter how we're playing.
That was down to the gaffer, the boss, Alex, and obviously I've got very fortunate to have Roy Keane, and that was just the mentality of the team. And I wish, if I could go back in time, I could show people the way we trained. It was like that, exactly like that. Yeah. A game, match tempo, tackles flying in, and then something changes before the week we play Liverpool or City or Arsenal. Mm. The gaffer had to stop training at times because it was getting so crazy. Players were jumping in for tackles, and the tempo in training was unbelievable. And that's what you see, the evidence in the game. Mm. You never had the mentality of giving up and always winning.
Well, that is the type of insight that, as a fan, I love to hear. And Paul, you got loads of new insight that we haven't heard so much in your brand new book, Tackling the Game. What can you tell us?
Well, I can tell you that it's just about everything that really happened. It's a lot, you know, there's a few little bits I've said in there, but maybe I hadn't said before, maybe not brave enough to say it.
Yeah.
But it gets to a point, you hit a certain point in life, you get older and you think, well, you might as well just say it. Mm. So I come out and said it. The book's, virtually I started it, oh, must have been about maybe 2016, when I was working with Wayne Barton, the author of the book, who's helped me, who, you know, wrote the book for me. And we've been talking about all different bits because he's done a lot of books regarding Manchester United, managers, everything like that. And certain bits, you know, he got me to get involved and talk about whilst we was doing a podcast as well.
Yeah.
So all the time he had all this information already there for me, and we just spent maybe 6 weeks just talking over little bits in between. So it's virtually starting all the little bits I talked about, even from Fulham and QPR, and of course Manchester United's quite a lot because there are some incredible characters there.
Yeah.
You know, while I was playing there and after I left, I mean, I met Quinton on a we actually met properly on a Christmas do because I was still going to Christmas do's.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get the club out of your head. You still want to be involved when you've left. Just especially some of your teammates were still there. There was, you know, new players coming in as well, and you just got involved in it. And it's a very difficult club to get out of your system.
Yeah, I do love some of your anecdotes in there as well that you've mentioned. There was one, however, that you could have gone to Arsenal,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't quite work out because of a car.
Well, it wasn't so much about the car. Well, it just boiled down is that I met up with George Graham, and I think what's the hotel in Potter's Bar? What's the hotel in Potter's Bar, Paul? It was a hotel that they used regularly.
Oh, no, it wasn't the Note, was it? No,
it was
yeah,
the Note.
Yeah.
So I met him there and just chatting away. And be honest, I was at Queen's Park Rangers, and I had to fly back. Well, sorry, Jerry Francis kicked me back to go back and speak to Arsenal. Virtually told me wasn't playing me out in Sweden. The one thing about it, when I was out there, I come in a sub in the game on the Saturday. Brought me on a sub, I scored, which is odd anyway. And then I thought, great, and all the lads were going out that night, and he said, don't want you to go out, you're on an early flight back. I went, why? I hadn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
He goes, you're going to go, Arsenal want to talk to you. I kind of got a little bit, well, not really. Yeah. But I went back, met George in the hotel, talking away, and virtually they wasn't offering a lot more than what I was on at Queen's Park Rangers. And at that given time, maybe Paul will hold his answer, we weren't a bad side then, were we?
QPR
in that given time.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And I was captain, which I mentioned before. But and then he said, I said, what about a car?
Yeah.
He goes, no, we don't do cars at the Arsenal. I went, well, I've got a club car and I've got a sponsored car. Well, we don't do sponsored cars, but if you have a sponsored car, you can't have anything on it. We don't want any association with Arsenal. I went, no, it just had my name in it. Well, if you're at Arsenal, you'll be associated with that car. So virtually, it come to the point of, so you want me to come to you, play for just a little bit more money and go out and spend extra money on a car. So virtually, I come out with less money than I'm starting with. And he just kind of, well, you are going to be playing for the Arsenal. I went, where am I going to play? Oh, I don't know if you're going to get in the team. Because we've got Lee Dixon there, we've got the two centre-halves.
It's a strange negotiation. I'm a bit lost at where he's asking you to come in.
Yeah, I know. Then virtually it got to the point of where he said, well, you've got to make your mind up by the end of the day if you're gonna sign, because after that we're just going to go, no, it ain't going to happen. I just went, no, it's not going to happen. My agent at the time looked at me as if to say he should be making that decision, but I made the decision. It was no good to me. It was... I'm not good at maths, but I worked that out very quickly.
Very good. Well, look, you can, of course, hear more about that in the book, Tackling the Game. Now, current United boss, though, Ruben Amorim, has been under huge pressure all season. But during the international break, he received the support of the club's co-owner, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, who said Amorim should be judged after the years.
He tells me all the time, sometimes with a message after games. But you know, I know, and Jim knows that football is not like that. So the most important thing is the next game. You cannot control, even with owners, you cannot control the next day in football. So I know that, but it's really good to hear that. Also because of the noise, but he tells me, and Omar and Jason tell me that all the time.
So, I mean, there you have it. He's got the support of Sir Jim Ratcliffe. But, I mean, are we back into a situation, Paul, where it's like one game from a crisis?
In general, it's like that anyway with United. Yeah. If you lose a game, there's always pressure on you. But the problem is that you can't win two on the bounce. The performances are poor. if there was performances you could bounce off, you think, yes, because of Sir Alex was all about performances, you'd win a game of football and he'll come in shouting and screaming because of the performance. And he used the words of, didn't befit a Manchester United side. We beat Coventry away one time, 5-0 at Highfield Road. We won 5-0 and he went absolutely ballistic. You know, why are you taking your boots off for? He was all Christ almighty, you know, he had completely lost it. And we won 5-0 at Highfield Road, and it was performances going into next games. And I look at this United and they can't get wins, but they can't get consistent performances. And if you're going to be a side competing to win leagues, you have to have good performance to lift, for you to feel good in yourself that you've done well, but for the team to feel comfortable and for the people on the terraces as well to kind of really have something to chew on.
Absolutely. Paul, were you surprised at Sir Jim Ratcliffe coming out saying, it's, you know, 3 years, I'll back him? I love it. I tried to deliver it with a straight face to you there.
I think that said it. Yeah, I was shocked. I don't think you could say 3 years. I think this has got to be sorted out. You know, this is Manchester United. You know, I never played for Man United, but from a distance, still one of the biggest clubs in the world, up there with Real Madrid. There can't be also runs. They're also runs. You know, if they finish in the top half this season, we'll all be going, well, I mean, that can't be right. Mm. It can't be right. Something's going to stop. I know, you know, the manager's got to be flexible. You know, he's playing 3-5-2, it isn't working. Good managers change. Mm. They change. You look at Thomas Frank at Tottenham, changing it, you know, week in, you know, when they're where they are because of him, because he keeps on changing the way they play. He changes it during the game. I think he's got to pull it in. He's probably shocked. Amorim, he probably went, what, 3 years? I've got three more years of this. You know, so, yeah, I hope he gets it right for him. You know, I do like the manager. I do like him. But at the moment, it's a real up. But yeah, I can't see him getting anything this weekend, I think. Mm. You know, we're going about Liverpool lost 3 games on the trot. They're all away. Mm-hmm. They weren't at home. Different team at home.
Yeah. Hey, Quentin, when you look at Man United now, do you recognise the same team that you were a part of?
Absolutely nothing. There's nothing you can compare to the intensity, the mentality, the work ethic. Everything is just different. Obviously, with a new manager, you have to respect that, and the personnel they've brought in, the players. It's the standards, and Paul will tell you, the standards that Alex set for so many years, as soon as he left, that was gone. And that's the thing I wish they would have kept, that the culture that he left, that they created for, took so long to create, to keep that. But of course, you need Alex to be there. But look, we need to back Amorim. Is doing his best, and as Paul mentioned there, he's got whatever system he wants to play, just win. Try and get a winning system, whether it's whatever system you play. If it's 3-4-3, if it was working, it was winning, it's a different story. But if it's not working, you've got to try and find a way that fits the team, that he's got, the plays that he's got, and then find a way to win. And that's all the people want. Of course, there's a standard of how you win games, but at the beginning, just trying to win games.
Yeah.